Australia hasn't played much cricket across this COVID period. You have to be careful with warm-up games, how much you read into them. But the study of fault lines and the strategic choices that lie ahead are crucial. And in Australia's case, winning beats the hell out of losing, given how poor they've been in the T20 format over some time now. So a win last night over New Zealand by 3 runs, which has some in the positive column and at least one big question.
Oh, this is going to run away, is it, as well? This might be it, is it? Yeah, it is. That'll be the game. Back-to-back boundaries. So English comes in and does the job. Australia get up with a ball to spare. A little bit of luck, but it's exactly what they needed. Well done to Australia. They have won this game by 3 wickets.
Really well done. They looked shot almost when Mitchell Starc walked out. Needed almost 10 runs and over at that point, or just over. They've managed to win with a ball to spare.
Yeah, I think it's a good start. We obviously haven't played together for a while, so that was nice to firstly get a win. But to try a few new things, give a few people a crack, and yeah, it's good to start with a win. I'm just looking forward to getting out there, playing a World Cup. I mean, the plan is enjoy ourselves as much as we can, and we've got nothing to lose. We've only got something to gain here. So I think if we express ourselves with the team we've got, there's no reason why we can't, win the whole thing, I guess.
Marcus Stoinis with his observations after Australia's victory. We set Bharat Sundaresan the early morning work. It was a 1 a.m. start. He's part of our SEN commentary team. Crick Buzz is where you'll find his writing. Bharat, welcome. Thanks a lot for taking on the task.
Anytime, Jared. I warmed up for it by watching some of the IPL games because I knew this was coming. And honestly, it was worth it. It was good to see, like you said, Jared, Australia playing cricket again.
So I distilled the whole thing, Bharat, down to 2 balls at the start of Australia's batting innings. Dave Warner jumps down the track, thick edge, caught by the floating slip. Mitch Marsh in at 3. Gorgeous, long, on drive, onto the hill for 6. That was enough for me. I got everything I needed out of those 2 balls.
At times, that's all you need in T20 cricket. I'm sure we're going to talk about it. Either 2 balls or 4 balls. Those small moments often are all you need to see in a T20 game. I think the best highlights packages in cricket, best in T20 cricket. That's what I used to do with the IPL as well, Jared. I used to wake up and watch 3 or 4 minutes of it, and I knew what had happened in the game. But it summed up both Warner and Mitchell Marsh in many ways, right? And for me, I wouldn't take too much notice about David Warner just stepping out of his crease first ball. But just the look on his face, and we've seen David Warner get out early and, like, you know, he'll have the sheepish smile on his face, like, if these things happen. But very rarely do you see that look of concern on his face like yesterday. And if I was Australia, I would be slightly worried about that.
So how serious is it, Bharat? There are those who loathe Warner and are immediately drawn to the he's finished. There are those who love Warner and believe the only way for Australia is if he recovers his devastating best, and the truth will be somewhere in the middle. This is a big challenge for him in a part of the world where he's really been successful.
Exactly. And, the whole IPL fracas hasn't helped his confidence more than anything. It's a cliche, but he's definitely one of those confidence players, isn't he? When he's feeling good about everything, especially about his own game, he just bats at a different level. Good intent from him to, like, you know, kind of just try to break the shackles early on. It is a warm-up game, like you said. You can't read too much into it. But I'm on the side of, you know, David Warner still has a lot to give to Australia and to cricket. I know there's been talk of, like, he's finished in the IPL, but I mean, watch out for that next IPL auction. I'm sure he's going for big bucks to maybe one of the new teams, who knows. But I still think, we haven't seen enough of him to know how bad his form is, honestly. I mean, Sunrisers played him for a couple of games and benched him and made it very vocal that they won't play him again. So he has a point to prove, and if anything, that's when David Warner comes into his own. And both with him and Aaron Finch, they just seem to have that record with ICC tournament. They seem to come good when it matters.
So this is one of the messages that came through, Bharat, as we ponder this. Finch and Warner would strike fear into opposition attacks. about 8 years ago. If that's who we're relying on, we're cooked before we start. So Finch physically looked fine coming back from the knee surgery. Warner's out of touch. What do you, can that work for Australia? So much has been invested in that opening partnership throughout the history of T20 for this country.
Yeah, absolutely. You see Aaron Finch's strike rate, career strike rate of 115. You're like, wow, why don't we speak about him more? But look, he is coming off injury, and I would like to play, the optimist here in terms of Finch and Warner. Like I said earlier, 2019 50 over World Cup. Leading into it, similar questions were asked of Aaron Finch. I know it's 2 years on, he's older, he's coming back from injury. But, you know, they hardly got out for large periods of the league phase in that tournament. So I don't think Australia can win without those two, or at least one of them firing consistently. But I understand where people are coming from. T20 cricket has also moved on, and I'm sure we'll talk about it as well. Like, the last T20 World Cup was 5 years ago. It's almost a different format altogether, Jared. And it will be teams who have moved on as well, who will do well. But I just get a sneaky feeling that the more people write Australia and Finch and Warner off, the better their chances of doing something in this tournament.
Will Mitch Marsh bat three, do you think, Bharat? He wants to. It makes Steve Smith a really interesting question, as Shane Warne doesn't think he's in the Australian 11 if Marsh occupies that key slot.
No, I think Marsh has to bat number three, Jared. Like you said earlier, just that first ball he faced. And I saw him play an incredible innings. Yes, it was a Marsh Cup game, but, over here at the Karen Dalton Oval about a few weeks back. And just the way the ball's going, flying off his bat. I mean, he's just in the form of his life. But I kind of disagree with the great Shane Warne, because just seeing the pitches and, the conditions that we are seeing in the UAE, even yesterday, some of the balls kept low across all games. Yeah, I mean, these are outgrounds, yes. But if you see even the main draw, I think a batter like Steve Smith has a role. Will he get to bat every time? Maybe not. But if you are 25 or 3 in these conditions, I think you need someone like Steve Smith. And you just have to look at Delhi Daredevils in their last match against Kolkata Knight Riders. On a low turner at Sharjah, they missed Steve Smith. Because often the kind of innings he played yesterday, about 35 of 33, is what you need. I mean, you're not playing on Indian pitches where, like in 2016, where you're going to see a lot of target totals of 180, 200. So I think Steve Smith fits in as the insurance guy almost in that middle order. But if the openers fire and if Mitch Marsh fires, then you can always just send Maxwell and Stoinis and even Wade or Inglis, depending on who plays, up there. But I think they would want that insurance, that safety measure in the middle order.
Did you learn anything from the bowling performance?
It's going to be a tough call between Kane Richardson and one of Cummins and Hazelwood. I mean, Hazelwood, of course, thanks to MS Dhoni, and the book is still out there and doing really well. he seems so much more confident with his T20 bowling, Jared. Even after he had a catch dropped off him early in that IPL final, and he did concede a few runs, he just came back so strong. So Hazelwood and Stark just play for me, but Kane Richardson is exactly the kind of bowler who's going to work on those pitches. As we've seen in the IPL, it was all about, guys who can bowl cutters, and the frequency of boundaries started dropping as the matches moved on, even in Dubai and even in Abu Dhabi during the IPL, Jared. I know we might have some fresher pitches here, but that is something that Australia will have to take into consideration. They will have to play both spinners in Zampa and Agar, but it's going to come down to that. Do you play Cummins? Do you play Richardson? It's a crucial decision, but not because I'm in South Australia, but I'll go with Kane Richardson just to start with.
Bharat, I've set up a spreadsheet for you. So each week of this tournament, a bit like David King does during the footy season where he does the seedings, we want the big four. So this is all about the semi-finals, this tournament, and there's very little margin for error. And I'll be most intrigued as to whether you've got Australia in the big four. So set us up, would you? The type of cricket that's required to succeed here. You followed the evolution of T20 and you've seen the IPL. So from four up to one, Give us the big four nations coming into the T20 World Cup.
All right. I've been thinking about this, Jared. You'll be surprised because I'm going to put Australia at number four. And I'll tell you why. One man, Mitchell Starc. I mean, I saw a lot of him in the Gold Coast when I was covering the women's test. And he was helping. I mean, he was doing everything. He was doing, helping the women with all sorts of fielding drills and everything. But more importantly, he would have these long sessions in the nets where he was just by himself. And he just almost seemed in a different zone. And just looking at him yesterday as well, he just seems to be operating at a level we haven't seen for a long time from Mitchell Starc. And then you add in everything else, like I said earlier, about nobody rating Australia, nobody giving them a chance. And these guys and how well they've gone in ICC tournaments. And more importantly, Glenn Maxwell's form. Australia is number four for me.
Who's at three?
Another surprise, it's going to be Pakistan. And, you know, I always think of Pakistan as the Italian football team. Like, especially going into these world events when there's something happening behind the scenes, which in Pakistan cricket is most times, and nobody gives them a chance. That's when they come good. And if you think about it, it's like a home World Cup for them. Like, they've been playing not just their home bilateral series in the UAE, but the PSL has been held in the UAE for so many years. So most of these guys who've come through the system have played a majority of cricket in these conditions. And, you know, just looking at them against the West Indies and just them coming in, there are some gun match winners in that team. So, sorry, New Zealand, I'm going with Pakistan from that group.
Who's at two?
India, and I'll tell you why. And not because it's India and they're coming off the IPL, but for the first time in a long time, they've picked a squad which kind of fits in with the times when it comes to T20 cricket. Even in 2016, they seem to just pick their one-day team and hope for the best. But just the likes of Ishan Kishan and Surya Kumar Yadav some of those, the modern-day IPL players are what could... They could be the ones who could make a difference for India, finally. And I see India and Pakistan getting out of that group.
And so who's your one seed coming into the T20 World Cup?
I've rallied around the West Indies all my life, Jared. I can't... So my heart does beat for them. But yes, I mean, look, I don't think they've picked their best squad, honestly, for the conditions. But, you know, the band is back together for one final time. I think Pollard is one of the most underrated white ball captains in world cricket. And again, I think even though they haven't picked the best score, like I said, someone like a Hayden Walsh and the wicket-taking ability that he has is what you need. And West Indies are such a dangerous side in a tournament format in T20 cricket. Because if they go through that league phase, they have so many guys in that team who just need to have that one day, like they did in 2016, to win the tournament. So West Indies start off as favorite. I know I have not put England in there. And I think it has a lot to do with the conditions that we're playing this tournament in.
Okay, so the big four for Bharat heading into the tournament. One, West Indies. Two, India. Three, Pakistan. Four, Australia. There are no rules regarding this. The only constraint is your imagination. You can be as volatile or as stubborn as you like week on week, Bharat. I can't wait to follow the progress of the tournament with you.
I can't wait either, Jared. Like, yeah, stuck my neck out there. So hopefully I'll keep doing that. I'll always do that, but... I just hope West Indies win.
I've got one more for you before you leave. There's always something from the qualifiers which enriches these World Cups, and we got that last night from Ireland.
Third umpire says he has to change his decision. It could be a big wicket at this stage.
Close, first ball. He's been in no form at all, Tendulkar, this year. And that run has continued. What a moment. How close is that? How close is that? It's a hat-trick ball. Please, says Curtis Camphor. Please, umpire, can you? No, he says they've got a review. Take it, take it. They've got a review. There's another one, 4-4. Curtis Camphor. What are you delivering? Are those cannonballs or cricket balls? 4-4.
A double hat-trick, Bharat.
And what a name, Curtis Camphor. I mean, you know, it's yeah, you're so right. It's is one of those things. That's why it's so much fun watching these qualifiers. Not only do you come across players who, whose names you've heard for a while, even with PNG that happens, but to see them in the flesh, you know, and in a big event. But yeah, what a moment. You know, I remember Lasith Malinga doing it in the 2007 50 over World Cup. And, you know, look where his career went. So maybe, yeah, it's 22. Curtis Camphor might be a name we'll be hearing a lot in the years to come, Jared.
Bharat, great to chat. We'll do it again next week.
Always a pleasure, Jared.
Bharat Sundaresan. Each week during the T20 World Cup, we have rights here at SEN. So you'll hear the key moments of it called live. Australia against South Africa Saturday night is where it starts from a local perspective. And Australia's new selector is Tony Dodemade. He's going to join me next.